is a poem called Italian Days. And it has a lot of Italian place names in it, which if you haven't been to Italy, will mean totally zip to you. But they sound good, you know? And you should let them just wash over you and think, God, I've got to go there too. It sounds so good. Or whatever. But ultimately, as the writers always say, the poem doesn't depend on that. The poem depends on the relationship between the line I have between the heaven of fixed stars and the page here. But in any case, it does have something to do it does have something to do with the location, but they're nice names. And if you were ever 23 once, or 24, or 25, or if you ever hope to get that age, listen closely. Italian Days. Thinking again of a weekend trip to Ferrara, Cosimo Tura on one wall, Miss D'Este long gone from the next, I took from Verona once, a place where the streets were as wide as Parisian boulevards, the pole like a frayed rope out past the bulge of the dikes. The weekend before, I'd been to Murano and back and almost become a squib in the Stars and Stripes when the helicopter's engine stopped thousands of feet above the Brenner Highway and we began to slide sideways down the air as quietly as a snowflake, the huge rotary blades above us circling like paddle churns in the wind languidly. The stillness abrupt, the plane in a long slip like a scimitar curved toward the ground, rising to meet us, its trees focusing automatically larger with each look as though raised through a microscope. The engine catching at last on its last turn, pine branches less than 50 feet below us, the blade side slide bottoming out as we started to rise and swing north up the Val d'Adige and into the emerald sundown outside Murano. Back up out of darkness an hour later, the houses beginning to flash on like matches below, left over Trento and left over Schio and down, everyone out to supper, the waitress admonishing Manzoline, non si taglia la pasta. Cut to Ferrara and me, threading my way out of town through bicycles, Vespas, and runty Fiats south to Ravenna and Rimini, the lap of the Adriatic and westward Byzantium, and the long grasses of San Apollinare and Classe, the field stubble gold in the noon sun. Cut to Verona, the town I always left from, work over and happy hour, Modugno on every phonograph on Via Mazzini, ciao, ciao, bambina. It's 1959, and after supper, everyone disappearing like rain from the streets and Café Dante, the fog in, Con Grande skulking and disappearing in marble above his tomb. As I do, along the cobblestones he grins down on, gone through the fog toward San Anastasia and the Due Torre, everything swaddled as though in newsprint, the river off to the right like a licking sound, up past the Duomo, then right across the last bridge where the beggar loomed in her burning chair. Each night as I passed her, it took 100 lire to put out the fire. Up north in the watersheds and rock slides of the Dolomites, snow has been leaving its same message for thousands of years on the bark of the cedar trees. There's no stopping the comings and goings in this world, no stopping them to and fro. Palladio's building shone like the collar on someone's dog. In Vicenza, the only inscript in all the town. For the rest, it was Goldstein patrolling the avenues at sundown with hot hands. In Venezia, Lord of the Bees in the dark hives of the Hotel R2 with hot hands. It was Charles with hot hands, his fingers on this and that wherever he turned in the bars of Little America. It was weekend and off duty and kicking the gong in a foreign country, left foot and right foot. Sister water, brother fire, gentle my way across, 1 foot on the river, 1 foot in the flames, my lack of ability to remember it right. The time we spotted the Vicentine, for instance, it rained and dimpled all the way back with Grace in his lap and him driving, sneezing, and making amends. On alternate Sundays, we'd drive to Suave and Ozzolo, Padova, and the Euganean Hills, always looking for the event, not knowing that we were it. This was the world we lived in and couldn't get shut of. And these were the rocks we walked on, Milano, Certosa, footstep after footstep echoing down the galleries, Goldstein checking the nuns out, Venezia settling like smoke at the unbitten center of things. One Sunday after the Trattoria La Brea, we went to Scuderi's place, his huge canvases stacked like sheetrock against the wall. "I have to keep them like this," he said, "to keep my life in order." He died the next winter, the heater electrocuting him in the bathtub. Some nights when the stars flash their gang codes and the fog slides in as cautiously as a bride across the steps the trees make up from the sea, and the gnat-like starts to solidify like a crust on the palm leaf and the pepper switch, and the smell of the paper whites hangs like a June garden above the kitchen table, Scuderi calls out my name as I climb the 6 flights to his room and stand in the doorway again, electric and Rita Vivas in the world of light he lived in inside his paintings for all those years, Vaseline light through the slow filter of late November, acid light off the North Italian lakes, shorthand of light from the olive leaves as they turn and tick in the wind, last light of the Dopo Guerra lifting Milan like a ship in the Lombardy night outside his window on top of the city wall, bar light and aftermath, Scuderi whitening to grain out and then to blank, like a sheet of paper everywhere, flat and unwrinkled and unreturnable. At the end of the last word, when night comes walking across the lake on its hands and nothing appears in the mirror or is turned to water where nothing walks or lies down, what will your question be? Whistling the dogs of mold in, giving them meat, and what will it profit you? No thought of that back then, bivouacked outside the castle above Marostica, whose walls downswept and pinioned the town like wings in its coming to rest, the town square blocked out like a chessboard, black and white from up there where the rook looked down on the knight's play. What eschatology of desire could move us in those days? What new episiotomy of the word? At San Gimignano, outside of town, I did see that no one could last for good, that no one could answer back from the other side. Still, I'd like to think I've learned how to speak to them. I'd like to think I know how to conjugate, "Can you hear me?" and "What?" In Rome, on the Via Cassia, there was opportunity enough for that in the catacombs. The lost bodies slipped in their slots like letters someone had never answered and then tossed out. Chance to step back from the light of the strung electric bulb and ask again if our first day in the dark is our comfort or signature. Most of what I remember had nothing to do with any of that, it turns out. A view from the Pinacoteca window across Siena one morning in 1959 and out to the hillscapes and olive shine. The way Piero della Francesca's Madonna del Parto was leaning against the wall in Monterchi and still unlit, the eel fishermen that made twilight along the Mincio River. But Scuderi did, and the helicopter did, and the full moon like Borso's skull on the Zattere, fog smoking up from the Hump Lagoon, and Eve coming out of Adam's rib on San Zeno's doors in Verona, her foot still stuck in his side. In the morning we sat on the terrace, Jim Gates and Tom Fucili and I and Bassano, the bowler of Monte Grappa across the valley, ghost hat on the head of northern Italy. There is, in the orchards of Somma Campagna, a sheet, sleet-like and tenuous iridescence that falls through the peach trees whenever it rains. The blossoms parachute to the ground so heavy and so distinct, and the light above Riva spokes out from under the clouds like Blake. The wires for the grapevines beating their little rainbows, the cars planing by on the highway, shooshing their golden plumes. What gifts there are all here in this world.